Welcome to the RC Noob Podcast. This is episode 43. My name is Tim. This is a show that is focused on RC cars, trucks, quadcopters, drones, to a lesser extent, airplanes and helicopters. But really, if it's hobby grade, if it is remote control, or I'm sorry, radio control, then it's something that I have a deep passion for, and I want to share that passion with all of you. Whether you've been in the hobby for a long time, or whether you're just getting back into it, or maybe you were in it for a while and then you got out and you're rediscovering it again. I've found that a lot has changed, even in the last 5 years that I've been involved in the hobby. You know, there are many, many things that have changed on the vehicles, a lot of advancements in technology, a lot of new platforms have come out, a lot of platforms have gone away. It's an ever-changing hobby, and it's something that, as I've always said, there's something for everyone to enjoy. So, at any rate, welcome aboard. Thank you for listening to the show. We're going to get into the main topic of today's episode, which is really another vehicle spotlight, and that's the Axial Yeti Junior Rock Racer. The Yeti Junior Rock Racer is a vehicle, a small-scale vehicle, 1/18th scale, that I purchased late last year and really wasn't sure. I was excited about it when it came out, and I really wasn't sure how much I was going to enjoy it until I actually got it into my hands. And, you know, not to spoil the end of the episode for you, but I've quickly become a fan of that vehicle. And I am seriously considering picking up another one, either another Rock Racer or maybe looking at getting the Score Trophy truck. But I'll get into that a little bit later. Before we get into that topic, though, there are a few news items from around the hobby world that have taken place lately. Just mainly a couple new product announcements in the form of a new 1/18th scale brushless monster truck from Dromeda. Dromeda's been doing a really decent job of creating small-scale vehicles that are affordable and that appear to be fairly durable. And I'm speaking from purely looking at other people's videos and other people's reviews of these machines and basing it on what I've read about them and seen through videos. I have not yet had my hands on these machines yet, but from what I've seen, they look pretty durable. Dromeda has a nice brushed lineup of machines ranging from, you know, touring cars to a rally car to monster truck. They've got a short course machine, like a desert buggy, desert truck, you know, style vehicle. And then they've also got some brushless powered machines as well. So if you're looking for a little more power and you don't want to do your own motor swap and ESC swap, you can, you know, jump right in to a ready-to-run brushless machine. And they have rolled out a new brushless monster truck. I did a little write-up on that machine over at smallscalerc.com, so you can go over there to check out that model and learn more about it. Recon G6, I had the great opportunity last year to talk to Brian Parker, conductor of the G-Train. Recon G6 is an amazing event series. You don't have to go to all of them, but if you go to one, you're probably going to want to go to many more. It's an outdoor-based scale RC experience that it's all about fun. It's all about having an enjoyable time in the hobby. It's about trail rigs. It's about scale appearance. It's about the outdoors. There's so much wrapped up into one event that it's really hard to, you know, encapsulate all of it. But their 2017 schedule is set. They are going to be everywhere this year. They went worldwide last year. They're going to be doing the same thing again this year. Not only are they going to have events in the United States, they're also going overseas. They have an event planned in China. They've got an event planned in the UK. They've got events in Canada, really wherever you can think of to have an event. Germany is another place that they're going to be holding events. They're going to be everywhere. That whole team is going to be very, very busy. I'm fortunate to have spoken with Brian in the past, and I'm just it's a blast to follow he and the rest of the Recon G6 crew through Facebook and through their other social media platforms, and just to see where they're at and what they're doing and how they're planning the next event. So if you want to learn more about the Recon G6 series and learn more about their schedule for this year, go to their Facebook page, facebook.com/recon G6, and you can learn more there. Heading down the news list, we've got a interesting challenge or an interesting contest from Hobbyco. They are holding a House Racer Challenge. The House Racer is their Rise brand's newest indoor quadcopter. And they've got a contest going on between now and the first part of April where you can, if you own a House Racer quadcopter and you also own the House Racer indoor course kit, you can create your own course, fly your House Racer through said course, and then get video of the whole thing, and then enter that video to win a $5,000 prize. Now, the exact details can be found at Hobbyco's website. I've got a link to that over on rcnoob.com. But in short, if you have, you know, all of those pieces to the puzzle put together, you could potentially win $5,000, which is a pretty nice chunk of change. It looks like a really fun event. It looks like a really fun contest. I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing some of the entries that are posted. Course design, whether it is, you know, for a buggy or for a quadcopter or a trail rig, you know, designing an interesting course that's going to be challenging yet and fun and, you know, just an enjoyable time for you as a hobbyist, that can be a hobby in itself, and that can be kind of a project in and of itself. So it's going to be fun to see what kind of quadcopter, indoor quadcopter courses come out of this House Racer Challenge. And I think to wrap up our news for this episode, we're going to dip into the competition side of machines for a little bit with Team Associated's new RC10 B64 team kit. It seems like maybe this year more than any other year that I've been paying attention to the hobby, there have been a lot of competition-focused kits and competition-focused machines released. So far this year, we're only into March of 2017. But Team Associated has a new version of their RC10 kit out, the B64 team kit, and this kit is focused on indoor carpet and AstroTurf surface tracks. And I watched a really nice video that they put together kind of giving their thoughts on what needed to change from their previous model, the RC10B44, and how they felt that vehicle was good but not great. It was good on dirt but not great when it came to carpet and AstroTurf surfaces, and really the high grip kind of course design. So, you know, hearing their thoughts into why they felt they needed to make changes and update that kit was kind of an interesting viewpoint for me to watch and to listen to. So you can learn more about that at either teamassociated.com or, again, I've done a little write-up on rcnoob.com for that vehicle as well. If you haven't checked out rcnoob.com, you know, I encourage you to do so. I've been doing a lot of writing, a lot of reviews, a lot of news items. I've spotlighted a few more individuals in my RC hobbyist spotlight. The latest one has been James Tabor. James has been an individual that I've gotten to know over the last couple of years. He's big into the crawling scene in California. And James really is a phenomenal photographer. He shoots all of his own rigs when he's out on the trail. He manages to compose just amazing photographs of his rigs and just capture them in a unique way. Photography is another side hobby of mine, one of many, and I appreciate people that can, you know, put together a good composition, a good photograph. And James, he's got it down. He's gotten an amazing eye for composing a photo. So if you haven't read that, you know, I encourage you to head over to the website and check that out. I've been really busy doing a lot of writing, gathering my thoughts on a couple of vehicles that I'm writing reviews for and machines that I'm writing reviews for. And one of those is the Axial Yeti Junior Rock Racer. So that's going to lead us into our main topic for this episode. The Yeti Junior Rock Racer, when it was announced late last year, was a machine that I was excited to see announced, excited to see released. But I wasn't sure I wanted to get my hands on one, at least right out of the gate. And I waited to pull the trigger on getting one for maybe longer than I thought I would. But after seeing so many people get their hands on the initial batch that came out, I was overcome by how cool the vehicle looked. And the Yeti has always been a favorite of mine as far as just the look of it and the attitude that it has, no matter whether it's the 1/10th scale or the 1/8th scale, and even, you know, the 1/18th scale, it shares that same look. It's got an aggressive look to it. It just looks rugged. It looks tough. It looks fun. The Score Trophy truck as well looks amazing, but just between the two, I really like the look of the Rock Racer, so that's the one that I ended up going with. And you know, once I got it, it was just a fun machine. You the fact that you can drive it anywhere, you can drive it indoors, you can drive it outdoors. I've had that machine, I've had it jumping little foam ramps that I've created out of some rain gutter foam inserts. I've had that indoors. I've had it outdoors. Outdoors, it's been my go-to machine lately, just to grab it and toss it on the ground and let it rip and just have a good time with it. I've had it outdoors. I've had it in snow. I've had it in some thick pine needles. I've had it through grass. I've had it through some muddy, dirty situations. Yeah, it's really handled well. And it's really been, as I said, my go-to machine for just, you know, getting out and having a good time. It's, you don't have to think about it. You just take it and go. Having said that, it's not without a few minor drawbacks. The biggest one for me has been the steering servo, and I covered this in a video that I posted on the RC Noob YouTube channel. But the steering servo, and I've heard other people echo this as well, is not the strong point. The stock steering servo is not a strong point of this machine. It's just not very strong, period. It was really noticeable to me when I had this out in snow, and there was a little bit of snowpack that got built up around the steering components and the front suspension components. It would get, if the wheels were turned in either direction and I would get some snowpack in there, the steering servo wasn't strong enough to move past that snowpack or bust through it. And there was a lot of picking up and shaking out and putting back down, and it seemed like a minute or two later, I was doing the same thing over and over again, repeating the same action of just knocking that snow loose. So the steering servo, in my mind, had to be upgraded if I was going to continue to run this in snow. And living in Wisconsin, we get snow. Thankfully, it hasn't been as much as we've gotten in the last couple of years, but still. We do tend to get snow, and I have just really enjoyed how the vehicle handles in snow, and really in any situation. But I wanted to throw a little bit beefier steering servo at it and see if that improved my enjoyment of the vehicle at all. So I did a little bit of research, and found a Savox micro servo, Metal Gear micro servo that appeared to fit the bill pretty well, and purchased that. Before I purchased it, I saw I watched a few YouTube videos from some folks that have done similar upgrades on their machines. One of them was an upgrade to the same Savox servo that I found, and actually the video was what got me turned on to that Savox servo. In the show notes, I will have links to those two YouTube channels and the specific videos that I was watching. But then beyond that, it really helped me get a better understanding for what I needed to take apart and dismantle on the Yeti or Yeti Junior to get into that steering component area and to release the stock servo. And really, there's not much to it. Thankfully, I would put the Yeti Junior Rock Racer at maybe on a level of 1 to 10, or scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the easiest. I would put it at an 8, as far as getting into the internal components, 8.5 almost. You have to remove a few screws, and once you do, though, as long as you remove the right ones, and locating those can be a little bit tricky. But once you remove the right screws, really the whole chassis kind of folds in half. And in doing so, it exposes that steering servo, it exposes the internal electronic components, and it really makes it easy for you to get into the innards of that machine and then remove the additional pieces and parts that you have to get to. The whole process, if it took me a half an hour, that was just because I was doing video of it at the same time. I know the video of my install was a lot, much shorter than a half an hour. I didn't film the entire thing, but I think the whole process took about a half an hour for me to get the thing apart and get the new pieces and parts installed and get it back to good again. And really, the new servo, cost wise, I paid $30 to $35 for it. You may be able to find it on sale. You may be able to find it cheaper if it's the specific Savox servo. And I don't have the model number off the top of my head right now, but that will be in the show notes. But after a few runs, after installing it, I'm very happy with that servo. It still doesn't return to center as well as I would like it to. And I'm really not sure why that's the case. But it is an improvement over the stock servo. The steering is a lot more crisp. It's a lot more responsive. You can tweak a few things to make it even more responsive and increase the steering range, which is an item that I've done. And it's, for me, it just makes it that much more enjoyable to have that ultra responsive steering. So I highly recommend upgrading the steering servo on the Yeti Junior Rock Racer, and also the, if you have the Yeti Junior trophy truck, I suggest making that upgrade as well. Another item, just I guess rounding up my initial thoughts of this machine, and again, I've had it outdoors, indoors, is the controller. I've become a bit of a self-proclaimed controller snob, and that's really the most intimate connection that you have with the vehicle when you're driving it, is that controller. I'm still having a bit of trouble getting comfortable holding the Taktik controller that comes with the Yeti Junior Rock Racer, and for that matter, it's the same as what's included with the Score Trophy Truck as well. The controller size, the handle size, just seems to be a few millimeters too thick for my personal liking. I don't have tiny hands necessarily. I don't have huge hands either. But I've held a number of controllers in my time in the hobby, and man, this one's just thrown me for a loop as to why I'm not getting a real comfortable handle on it. That said, it's, it works. It's responsive. It's got decent range. The controls that are built in, the tuning aspect of it is decent. It's not as intuitive as some other controllers in terms of the trim settings and the adjustments along those lines. I wish it was a little more intuitive, a little easier. I've had to refer to the manual a few times when I've wanted to make adjustments to it. So from that standpoint, I wish it was a little easier to just intuitively understand. But, you know, that said, it's not a terrible controller. It's got really amazing range. I think the more I use it, the more I'll get used to it. And I'll develop a better feel for it all the way around. So really, you know, for a stock machine, and I would still consider this to be a stock machine, even though I've upgraded the servo, it's solid. It's a very fun machine to drive. It jumps incredibly well. It's just really durable. I've had a blast driving it and just ripping it around the backyard and just having a good time. And that's really fun when you can find a vehicle and just really not have to care about what you do to it and have a firm belief that no matter what you do and what you put it through, it's going to come out on the other end okay. Now, that said, there are some upgrades, and I've already touched on the steering servo upgrade, but you can even upgrade a few other items. You know, I've seen people put a brushless motor and updated the ESC, electronic speed control, and that thing rips on a brushless motor, and then you can, you know, combine that with LiPo batteries, and you've just got a machine that's maybe too fast for its own good, but still, from the looks of it, a blast to drive. Now, the brushless motor is an upgrade that I may end up making at some point in time, because after I've gotten it outside, I've come to the realization it could be just a little bit faster. Really, for the stock motor, for that 40-turn brushed stock motor that's included in it, and the gearing that they've put in it from default, it's amazing the speed that it is able to generate. Brushless would just, you know, add to that, and LiPo would add to it even more. In addition to that, there has been a really cool battery and electronics tray, a 3D printed piece that I've seen produced. I'll include a link to that in the show notes as well. But that allows you to relocate the electronics and the battery and just kind of balance the weight out a little bit differently. Now, I haven't noticed the weight balance being an issue right now with the jumps that I've done and the other just general backyard bashing that I've done with it. But again, I plan on spending a lot more time with this vehicle in the coming months. I might notice something down the line where, you know, just kind of rearranging things and realigning things might come in handy. Now, I know if you're going to put a brushless motor in there, you're going to want to put a brushless compatible ESC in as well. Or maybe you want to put a full-sized ESC and a full-sized, you know, you want to change out the receiver. If you do that, you're going to need more room, and that's where something like this battery and electronics relocation tray would come in very handy. So I'll wrap up my thoughts of the Axial Yeti Junior Rock Racer. I think I'm really close to getting my review in my head complete. You know, I think I've gotten about as much information out of this machine as I'm going to need, but I'm just really happy with it. I'm really happy. I love driving it. I did check on the stock status of it, or the inventory status of it on Axial Racing a few days ago. I actually saw that in the last couple of, well, I'd say maybe months, last month or two, they've changed it from order to pre-orders. And if I understand correctly, Axial may be having some supply or production issues. I don't know what exactly is going on there. I know not only are the Yeti Junior models on pre-order status, but it's almost hard to track down a couple of other models as well. Some of their 1/10 scale machines are a little tricky to get a hold of. At any rate, I hope they can get their production issues. If that's what they are, I hope they can get them sorted out quickly. In addition to that pre-order purchase status button, I did notice that the price has gone down. It was $179 when it was originally announced, but now it's $159. So there is a little bit of a price decrease. Part of me is a little miffed, but part of me is, you know, happy, especially if I'm looking to get another one of these. And I think that puts this machine at a really really nice price range and really nice price point. And it gives you a little more wiggle room if you do want to upgrade things and plan on upgrading things right out of the box or right out of the gate. Now, really, the only hitch in the giddy up, as it were, is getting these things in stock and getting them shipped out to people. And hopefully, like I said, hopefully that gets cleared up and straightened up in short order. One other little item I want to touch on for this episode is 3D printing. I talked about this with Rich during the last episode, and I've talked about it in more depth with Josh Howard on a episode last year. 3D printing has really taken off, and desktop 3D printing has really taken off, and the production of parts and pieces for RC vehicles, in my mind, has really taken off. Not only from desktop production, but you can get parts and pieces through websites like Shapeways or storefronts like Shapeways.com. You can even find some free parts and pieces on sites like Thingiverse. There is an open RC project that I've been paying attention to and will be doing a deeper dive on in the coming months and coming weeks. There you can really print all the components you need for your own RC vehicle. You can download them and print them yourself. But 3D printing, I have a 3D printer. I received one for Christmas. That's become an area that I really have been interested in. And it scratched an itch for me that I didn't realize I had. And I've had a lot of ideas that I've sketched out and thought out over the years, but I've never really had the opportunity to create them or see them come to life. And 3D printing has really allowed me to realize those visions and really kind of prototype and have some fun and experiment with a few things and see how they would work. As a result, I've begun producing and selling a selection of scale accessories for a few vehicles, a few different models, the Axial SCX-10, Proline Ambush, and soon the ECX Barrage. I've mainly been designing these for myself, but after I've done that and I've really had a good time both designing and creating these things and printing them, and then once I got them mounted to my own machines, I wanted to make these available for other people to enjoy as well. So if you are interested in checking out those items, you can go to rcnoob.com/store. I did send some of these items over to Rich at 2RC Productions, and I also sent a few Ambush items over to Matt at RC Overload. So if you want to get their thoughts on what they think of these items, you can check out their sites as well and their channels to get their input on those items. You can save 15% between now and the end of March 2017, if you use the promo code SCALER15, just type that in at checkout and you are good to go. You'll save 15%. Thank you for allowing me that little bit of infomercial time during this episode. I also want to thank Proline Racing for supporting this episode of the RC Noob Podcast. They've been coming out with amazing new products and been releasing some amazing accessories from wheels and tires to bodies to, entire kits. Their latest releases include a 2017 Ford Raptor body for the Traxxas X-Max, a new set of 1.9-inch anodized aluminum beadlock wheels called the ProForge series, and they've got even more that you can find out about at ProLineRacing.com. Use promo code RCNoobAP10 when you check out, and you can save 10% on your order at ProLineRacing.com. With that, we're going to wrap up episode 43 of the RC Noob Podcast. I want to thank you for checking out the show. If you have not yet subscribed, you can do so by going to either iTunes or Google Play Music or your favorite podcast app. Just search for the RC Noob Podcast. If you've been a longtime listener, I can't say it enough. Thank you for listening. Thank you for staying subscribed. I greatly appreciate it. If you have thoughts or ideas on future episodes or future topics that you want to see either talked about or written about or videos done on, feel free to let me know through Twitter or Facebook, or send me a message through the contact page on rcnoob.com. To find out how to get to any of those channels, go to rcnoob.com and you'll find our Twitter address and our Facebook address and Google Plus and everything from that one location. So this is your opportunity to, you know, get answers to your questions and let your voice be heard in a sense. So head to rcnoob.com for that. And with that, I'm going to head off. I thank you guys for listening again. Until next time, keep those batteries charged up and keep your nitro topped off. And we will talk with you later.